Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
Coffee and bourbon, first in the morning, is the motor running, keeps me tied to something.
Among the group of artists we've had in the Lake Effect Performance Studio, singer-songwriter Hayward Williams has been a consistent local performer. However, this time around, we feature Williams in our Pandemic Performers series, where we highlight some of the work coming from Milwaukee artists and performers at a time when many of us are still isolated. Williams' latest album, Every Color Blue, was slated to be recorded live in the spring of 2020. As the coronavirus pandemic surfaced and continues, Williams and the musicians on the album had to adjust course. He joins me now and explains how this record came together.
Well, initially, I wanted to begin recording something and try to get as much work as I on it that I could get done as I could before my son was born in April. That was the original plan. And then once the world started shutting down, then the plan became, well, let's work on something because that sounds like something productive and positive to do with my already like anxiety-ridden mind. So it became just a good thing to work on. And so we just did our best to just kind of plug away at it.
And with the songwriting, there's 12 tracks on this album. Were the songs already written before you decided to continue and carrying on putting the record together? Or were these songs also written during quarantine time?
No, it was all the pre-production and everything was ready to go. So luckily, everything was poised to be worked on and ready to go. And so then at that point, it was all just a matter of us trying to troubleshoot how we were going to combine everything and make it work and make it work well. Some songs were written after the 2016 election, and some of them were written in January of this month. So it's kind of this wide swath of time. But once you have this kind of new prism that you're putting everything through of everybody being quarantined and everybody just kind of doing their best and trying to make it work, then that becomes the unifying factor of everything, regardless of when the songs were written.
This album also has a rich, full feeling. So you mentioned pre-production was pretty set to go, but how did you end up pulling all the different elements together of other musicians featured, the other singers, everything? You know, blues and soulful music, I think, has a tendency to be really strong, even if you just have the basics of keys, drums, guitar, and vocals. But there's a lot more to it, especially with some of these tracks, to get a bigger richness.
Right. Well, the original theme and kind of bullseye we were going for was like a classic kind of soul record. So most of your classic soul records have full orchestration and instrumentation, and so that was the jumping off point. And then once we began our kind of new production schedule, it was whoever could help out, whoever was available, whoever had the right kind of gear to make it work. But we didn't want to compromise the original vision. We kind of wanted to have this new constraint be something that we could use to kind of steer us creatively and something that we felt like we wanted to try to rise above.
Well, I think you accomplished that because you add guest vocalist, string quartet, and Sturgill Simpson's horn section to just elevate many of these tracks.
Well, yeah. Well, I think this is the fourth record that I've made with this cast of musicians. And so I'm very lucky to be able to work with the musicians that I know and call friends and colleagues now. And not only are my connections coming into play with who we're getting to play on the record and when, but also we're using all their connections. And so just with having people spread all over the country, then you have kind of a large pool to draw from. And so I think everyone that we contacted was also looking for something to to do in some way to stay relevant and viable and not just sitting around, you know, like eating cookies by the sleeve, you know.
I think that's an activity we've all partaken in at least once during this time.
Yeah. Multiple times, yeah.
So to throw it back a bit, you had an interview with us back in 2014, and you commented on how the album The Reef, that the energy of that album is a result of recording your band playing live in a room together. You know, you mentioned that it's the only way you can feel that you can get excited about the record. So how did you find yourself finding that same energy for this record, or did you embrace the different feelings behind making music in lockdown and all the challenges and sounds that come with it?
The easy way to embrace it is the fact that I had to. And the original plan was to do this record live in the room and kind of have that energy in the air of the room be changed by what we were doing. But I think just having the specter of everything kind of hanging over what I was doing, it forced me and kind of impelled me to put that same amount of energy that I might have been feeling in a room, and it compelled me to do it myself, because I didn't know when the next time I was going to be able to make a record. So I said, regardless of the fact that it's not the way you want it to be, you better make it count. And so that was kind of the posture that I was taking into it.
So obviously you had this goal, this drive. What other roles did music take on for you during this time?
Well, it's this session and this record was very therapeutic. And not that it hasn't been before, but I think it's been purely therapeutic this time around. Whereas before I felt, you know, well, you know, it's been X amount of years or X amount of time. It's time to make a record. Who are you going to get to do it? Where are you going to do it? And kind of starting to map things out. Whereas this time it was like, I'm going to go downstairs and try to get something done. You know, I'm going to go into my basement. I'm going to give myself 45 minutes. Maybe that's all the time I have. And whatever I get done is what I get done. And it's kind of a beautiful carrot on the end of the stick to kind of help you get through a day where it felt exactly the same as the day before.
One of these tracks is called Fade Away, and this song starts with the lyrics, "Felt arrested by that old feeling." And I think those moments come maybe a bit more often during this time. Can you tell us a little bit more about this song?
Well, this song in particular, it took on new meaning. Originally, the song is just a very sentimental song about someone who had to leave their car downtown after a night of drinking and walk home through their old neighborhood and just think about the past and think about old flames and bad decisions and things like that. And so it's a very simple song in that respect, and kind of how no matter what you do, those memories and those experiences kind of all just disappear at some point. But as we were recording it, and as it was becoming bigger and bigger with strings and with everything, and it kind of felt more like the things that were fading away were everyday freedoms, real freedom, even family members that are fading away or already gone. And so it was less of a sentimental kind of sappy ballad and more of like a singing your heart out while the candle is starting to flicker away kind of thing.
Felt arrested by that old feeling, so I swore that I'd never take your street again. After midnight, my head was clearing. Oh, what a shame. I know what to say, but it's too late.
a long haul, walking back from downtown. It was warm enough. I took the long way.
So in the past, you've dealt with a lot of anxiety when it comes to touring and performing in front of audiences. But now that that's, I mean, not completely out of the equation, but has changed so fundamentally, has your relationship with that aspect of being a musician changed? Or, you know, has putting your effort towards this album been a better therapy for you? I'm just curious what you think about having that aspect of your life just kind of being put on hold for a little bit.
Well, it's definitely, it brings a lot of uncertainty, you know, easily as everyone is experiencing. But my family has grown a lot in the past few years. And on one hand, that has served to kind of curb a lot of my anxiety, because it's such a focusing thing to have children and to have that kind of new part of your life become so strong and so important to you. So I've started touring and playing less already, and didn't have the time or the anxiety to really feel one way or another about it. And not to say that I'm glad that quarantine happened, but it is, you know, kind of further driven the nail in for me that I already don't play as much as I used to, So not having the opportunity now doesn't feel like more of a, like a severing of a limb or anything like that. It just feels like, well, there you go. You know, it is what it is.
Well, and do you find your three kids to be receptive audiences for when you're working out things for the album?
They are receptive if I'm like playing it through the speakers, like if I'm listening to a track or anything like that. But if I'm like trying to like play guitar or anything like that, it just infuriates them and they ask me to stop. They're just like, "Daddy, don't do that. Don't play. Don't sing." So that's why my window to work is always at night in the basement when everybody's in bed.
Away from the tough crowd.
Such a tough crowd. No filter. Yeah.
Another pretty great thing about this album, it has 8 original songs, but also 4 written by friends. And I'm hoping you can tell me a bit more about the duet, Put Down the Fight. That track really stood out to me.
Oh, great. Yeah, I wanted to make a record, and I originally, a long time ago, wanted to make a record with only songs that were written by friends of mine. And then as I was doing that, I was finding it harder and harder to kind of find my own voice within them. So I took the ones that were working for me and kind of implanted them into this more recent batch of songs that I had, and decided that I would just do it that way. And I did that primarily because, one, it seemed like kind of an easy way to fill out a record, and two, it's always really exciting when a peer plays your song or plays it live or does anything with it. And so I wanted to pay that forward and pass that along and play other people's songs, and hopefully they get as much of a thrill out of it as I do. And that song was a song I had written a long time ago and wanted it to be a part of a record I did with my good friend and collaborator John Harden for a record that we put out called Coyote Brother, which is a very like cowboy kind of ballad duet, sad murder ballad country record. And I wrote this song and I really wanted to show it to John and have him be like, "That's great, let's put it on the record." And that really wasn't the way it went down. And that, I don't think that was because it was a good song or a bad song. I think maybe it just didn't fit what we were going for at the time. And so I still wanted to do it, and I love John's voice. And so I just kind of made him sing it. And so like I kind of got what I wanted anyway, even though it wasn't on the Coyote Brother record. So it's kind of like a backdoor song and kind of a way to force my friend to sing the song I always wanted him to sing.
Well, I think it's a great song, and I think it fits in well with the album overall. And having this collaboration and so many musicians involved, giving it such a full sound, you know, you write that it's giving audiences something that's missing right now, soul. How do you hope people come away after listening to the album?
I love soul music. I love everything about it. I love Al Green. I love Marvin Gaye. I love Dusty Springfield. I love Aretha Franklin. Like it's, they're so ingrained, I think, in pop music as well as just soul music. And regardless of whether it makes you sad or happy or dance, like I feel like it's such an American genre and such an important genre. And I always find a way to make it applicable into my everyday kind of living and life and thought mentality. And especially with the political upheaval and everything that's going on, like soul music is such a important tool and a way to bring people together. And I was hoping that since we can't actually be together, that at least we could listen to some good music and hopefully feel and maybe at least remember what that was like to be together.
Well, I thank you for your efforts in making this album available. I certainly enjoyed listening to it. And next time, we'll have you in the studio for your next album in a few years. Hopefully things will be good by then. But I really appreciate your time and speaking with me today.
A pleasure to speak to an adult. Very exciting to me. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Hayward.
Please come back home. To the life you love and know.
Hayward Williams is a Milwaukee-based singer-songwriter, and his latest album out now is called Every Color Blue. We spoke with him as a part of our Pandemic Performer Series.